Welcome to another episode of Small Bites by Mirepoix Taste Buds. We are your buds, Melissa.
And I'm Emily.
Small Bites is short, easily digestible content that is about food or foodway or just fun things that we want to talk about. And today's episode is all about indujia.
Mm-hmm. So this little tricky minx is a spicy paste prepared from cured pork and peppers, traditionally made in the Italian region of Calabria. So Calabrian chilies are the traditional pepper that is used in here. Kind of gives it that bright red look that it has. They're super punchy, and they not only give it that like rich orange red hue, but they also provide a super fiery, slightly smoky flavor. Some people compare it to chorizo if you're looking for something to kind of equate it to in your mind. Indujia and Spanish chorizo sausages are both spicy, and they're both preserved pork products. So they're also kind of similar in color, and they're traditionally fermented. So generally, indujia is softer, though. So that's way more spreadable. Some chorizos are spreadable, but not on the level that indujia is.
Interesting. Indujia is another of Italy's peasant foods. The name seems derived from the French smoked pork sausage and indujia could be inherited from the French and Angevins, who conquered Sicily in the 13th century, but it bears more than the passing resemblance to Spanish sobrasada as well.
Mm-hmm. Always these cousins of likenesses in other places.
For sure. Everybody's doing it.
That's right. So indujia was an economical way of making the most of a pig. So farmers would sell the sought-after cuts of meat, and then they'd keep the cheaper cuts that no one else really wanted, often the head. Also in those days, in addition to fatty cuts of pork from the belly and back, they also contained organ meats, offal, and things like lungs. So stuff that they didn't want to go to waste. So
waste this, not want not
exactly know? Exactly honestly the end product is pretty tasty, so it's like, do you even care?
Probably not.
So once the meat was ground, it was combined with fat and flavorings, and it produced a great tasting sausage that was affordable to produce. So it's not usually sliced into rounds. The final product is actually more of a pork pate, definitely smooshy.
I never love a pate, to be honest, but I mean, this one does sound quite good. I just hate a spreadable meat. That's never the way I want to imbibe, but
why not? I love that. If I was going to like meat, I think the spreadable kind's the kind I like.
What? That is so weird. Said no one ever. No one wants to spread.
I don't want to chew
like
it.
Indiscernible, though. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the way it's good.
You're crazy. Interesting. But indujia is, yeah. It's typically made with only four ingredients. Very simple. Pork meat, fat, chili peppers, and salt.
So indujia's special spreadable texture actually comes from that meat to fat ratio. So dried cured salumis and like sopressata, for example, they usually contain a ratio of roughly 3 parts of lean muscle to 1 part fat, and indujia inverts that ratio, so it's literally 3 parts fat for every part of meat or muscle.
Dang.
So
terrible, yeah. For you.
Probably, but that's not what we're talking
definitely
about.
Peasant food, though. I see why they say that. It's like, it's mostly fat, but
it'll keep you fed. Yeah, tastes damn good.
To make indujia fatty, ground pork is mixed with varying amounts of ground Calabrian chilies, roughly 30% of the total weight of the sausage, which is a hefty portion to just be chilies.
I know, I thought that too.
Yeah, and then also mixed with lots of salt. In super traditional Italian preparations, the mixture is stuffed into a hog, middle cap, a durable portion of a pig's large intestine, known as the orba. Ugh.
Yeah. Fun name.
Yeah. Andouille cased in Orba can weigh upwards of 7 pounds, more sausage than most people like to keep in their fridge at home. For that reason, Andouille is packaged for retail sale in the States, is usually stuffed into smaller collagen casings.
So after it's cased, the salumi are then fermented in a warm, climate-controlled chamber where they begin to take on a slightly sour flavor that distinguishes Andouille from most other Italian salumi. So this usually takes anywhere from 12 to 36 hours. Someone said essentially it's somewhere around 24 hours that the acid starts to get up to the point that it needs to be, which is the most important because that's what's going to make it actually shelf-stable. That actually just reminded me I need to feed my starter, and I'm like, oh no. My ferment! My precious ferment! Geez.
That's too much, man. I don't know how you do it.
Girl, we almost brought it on vacation. I was like about to pack my bags with some flour, and I was like, let's just put it in the fridge and we'll revive her when we get home. I can't.
People do it, yeah. I was literally watching a show the other day, and this guy was like his coworker. He was like a paramedic, and his coworker had a sourdough starter that he was like always feeding on the job. And tragically, his like coworker like died, and he had like a heart attack. And he like left his sourdough starter to his coworker, and like wanted him to take care of it after his death.
Damn, I gotta bequeath this in my will.
Yeah, it's like, who gets to do this now? But you can't let it die.
No.
But it accidentally did get like thrown out, and it was very sad. But
oh wow, yeah, that was a sad story.
It was a sad story. I didn't mean to bring that downer, but yeah. So I don't know. Things to think about. Put it in your will.
Yeah. I'll put that on there.
Once the Andouille is done fermenting, the salumi is moved to a cooler chamber where it's hung to age for a longer period. Occasionally, it was smoked before to ensure it was shelf stable.
So during the aging process, that's when the flavor of the sausage really begins to deepen. So a large Orba-cased Andouille can age as long as 7 months until the water activity is low enough and the acidity is high enough that the Andouille is shelf stable and doesn't need to be refrigerated. But like those smaller ones that are in commercial casings will be ready in like 4 to 6 weeks. So really depends on the size we're going for here.
Totally. While most other salumi will continue to firm up the longer they are hung, Andouille stays soft and pliable even after months of hanging due to the way that the chilies interact with the meat and the fat.
So Andouille that's hung for just a few weeks will be more vibrant and like more of a paprika orange red than the longer aged Andouille, which has a more subdued brick red kind of hue.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But what does Andouille taste like, as I always want to know? It's a meaty, spicy, umami type flavor. These are the three words that best describe what to expect when you first try that sausage, which I'm here for all of those.
Yeah, I thought you would be. Get behind it. So the high percentage of chili gives a strong, fiery kick to the sausage, meaning it's best to use it in small quantities. So like a teaspoon could be enough for like punching up a pasta sauce. But it's not a lot at all. That's why I was like, oof, good to know. Mm-hmm. The difference in color is also reflected in the flavor. So like the younger sausage that's brighter is a more acidic, chili forward bite, while the longer aged Andouille has a more mellow heat and like a sourness, which kind of allows the nuanced flavors of the pork and the smoke to kind of shine through.
Interesting. I feel like I'm here for the younger sausages, but I don't know.
I didn't really think about like the aging, and I was like, I'd be interesting to like have like a tasting where you got to see like, you know, this one's aged 12 months, parts, this one's like, aged, yeah, you know, like how you do with cheeses. Yeah.
They got those in somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. You got to go to Italy.
Yeah, the Calabrian area, and you'll
gotta have them. Come on, I want some old grandma to feed me her sausages.
Yeah, she got the good stuff for sure.
Yeah, right.
But how do you spot the good stuff? The good stuff won't have more than 3 or 4 ingredients: pork, salt, Calabrian chilies, and in America, they often have lactic acid, an ingredient required by the FDA for fermented sausages, which it lowers pH levels and inhibits spoilage and the growth of potentially harmful bacteria. Europe is doing just fine without any of that, so
As anyone could trust the FDA, like, literally.
Right. They're not my source of
truth. Or safety. Did you watch that John Oliver episode where he literally, like, dives into the FDA and the faults and folly of that nonsense?
Yes.
That was ridiculous. The difference between, like, the USDA and what they monitor and the FDA, I was like, this is absurd. No wonder. Like, no wonder no one knows what's going on.
Completely flawed systems.
Yeah. And there's, like, 9 people doing, like, the work for, like, the whole country. It's, like, it's silly. So if you haven't seen that episode of John Oliver, go watch it and be horrified, because it was literally about, like, food safety a lot and, like, Yeah, your vegetables are, like, more harmful than, like, anything else, because we're spraying poop water on them, essentially. Anyway, it's a long story. But ways to cook it and enjoy it, that's the most important part. So because of the texture and its tendency to essentially dissolve when it comes in contact with heat, andouille is uniquely easy to mix into dishes, both at the beginning, middle, and end of cooking, quite frankly. So you can't go wrong.
Yeah. It definitely works well in sauces or anything that you want to add a little heat to. It's great on bread or sandwiches, or even you could put it in, like, some fish dishes or some mussels.
Yeah, I saw a recipe for some mussels with it, and I was like, that sounds bomb. I brought this to the pod because I had it in a vinaigrette years ago while trying to be a vegetarian at Marisol in the MCA. I
didn't know what it was at that
did
time.
I did not. It was a butternut squash dish. So my brain read butternut squash, and it read, like, cheese. There was some sort of cheese in it. And I was like, vegetarian. And then it said, andouille vinaigrette somewhere in small print somewhere below. And I ate probably half of it before I started to wonder, what was that salty, delicious taste that I was getting that wasn't just the cheese? I was like, wow, this is so good. It's so rich. There's a lot of umami flavors. There's spice. I was like, this is good. And then I, like, got a little bite that was, like, a little bit chewy. And I was like, that kind of felt like a meat particle. That's so weird. And then I was like, let me see the menu and I'll just look back over this. And I was like, I don't know what that word is. And I think I looked it up on my phone, at which point I did realize that I had eaten most of this dish and I was a terrible vegetarian, which is hilarious. A story of my life. So
A for effort. I mean, no one would know what that word is, quite frankly. So can't be totally on you. Menus should really, like, have some sort of indication what is vegetarian or not. Like, at all times.
Also, like, to not fault them completely, that may have been a human error and I may have not paid full attention. I will not throw them under the bus like that, but
there very well could have been those indicators that you completely ignored due to hunger.
Yeah, when I'm hungry, there's blindness. I see 2 words and I order it off the menu before I can even, like, read more than the full sentence. So it may have been a personal error, but I was delighted to see that in the Lula cookbook. We recently went to an event at the MCA and I purchased it. And on page 164, there is a very similar dish that is featured. And I honestly can't wait to make it. I'm not sure if I'll eat it with the andouille or not. But in Chicago, they reference artisan salumi maker that's been in the game for, like, 5 generations or something, called Tempesta. And I honestly, their website looks super nice, and it's really cool that, like, they get it from, like, a local Chicago creator, which I think is kind of fun. And the way they just, like, talked about it in the cookbook, when I read, like, the few opening, like, lines of it, and the way he talks about it, I was like, beautiful. Yes, I'm interested. No wonder I liked it.
Right.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
In terms of storage, it never really goes bad, because you can always freeze it, so... Make sure you seal it in the fridge, as fats are known to absorb those surrounding flavors, like most things in the fridge do, which is always so gross and weird, and I wish it didn't do that.
Oh my god, you sound like Derek. He literally complains every time he puts our butter on something. He's like, oh, it tastes like the fridge. I'm like, so why do you keep putting it on your toast? Like, I was like, I don't know what to tell you. It's true sometimes.
I don't know. Sometimes those fridge... seep right in. Weird.
He's taken to, like, double bagging it and then, like, putting it in a Tupperware.
That's excessive. I'm
like, well, if you don't want your butter to taste like the fridge, I don't know. They also usually recommend that you slice off any bits that don't look bright and fresh before you use it, if it's been in your fridge for a little while. It did say that nothing can really grow on it because it's shelf stable. And I was like, so mold can't grow on it? I was like, that seems impossible, but I guess I'll have to put it to the test.
Unusual.
Yeah. But if you can't use it all at once, it also, they say you can freeze it into like pre-portioned slices for long-term storage too. So you got lots of options and ways to use it, but it's definitely something.
I'm going to have to start buying this and like putting it in pastas and stuff. It seems like a good, like, you know, easy additive to things. Mm-hmm. Or like they said, just put it on some bread and things like that.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. Like when I was in Bolivia, there was always all kinds of like meat pate type things, and they freaked me the fuck out. They were so scary looking, and I was like, this is not what I want to eat for breakfast right now. But yeah, I mean,
just don't look at it.
Maybe I need to give them a more of a shot.
You know, like I don't like really chewing the texture of meat, so a spreadable meat to me, way more agreeable. Or like something that can like dissolve into a sauce, lovely.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand that, actually, now that you, like, put it that way.
Mm-hmm. And, like, someone was talking about spreading it on, like, a breakfast sandwich even in the morning. And, like, that mm-hmm. would just make it, like, a spicy. It's, like, instead of hot sauce, you know, you're using this thing that has, like, an umami spicy thing going on that's going to give it, like, a richness. I'm like, this sounds like a win.
Yeah, that sounds like it would make a damn good, like, egg breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, right? Mm. Yeah. I could get behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the Nduja spreads. Yeah, baby.